Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, or David's Vacation Club Rental. You can contact any of our fine sponsors at our website at www.mainstreetmemories.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast, show number 128. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Den. Hey, Den, pull up a stool. You're buying.
Good morning, Doug. How are you?
I'm doing good. Nah, Den, I'll buy today.
All right.
I'm treating today.
All right.
I came back from North Carolina with a few dollars in my pocket left, so it was supposed to be vacation money. So we'll spend it on the bar tab today. How's that sound?
Yeah, that sounds great to me.
So you ready to talk a little news? I don't think there's anything going on. Like, I haven't even heard anything about the Great Movie Ride, have you?
Yeah, it's been a slow holiday week, I guess. But, to your point, of course, the big news is that the Turner Classic Movie Channel, I guess, or company, whatever you want to call it, they signed an agreement with Disney to include updates to the Great Movie Ride, which comes as a surprise. As you know, we and many other podcasts were reporting that the Great Movie Ride was scheduled to be closed. Of course, that was never official from Disney, so whether or not that rumor was true or not, it appears that it was not, because they partnered up with Turner Classic Movies, and they're going to do some refurb to the attraction. Reading the article, and I won't read the whole thing here, but it primarily is going to be presented by Turner Classic Movies, and there'll be credits throughout the attraction. It says a new pre-show, an update to the ride's movie-based final scene. And I'll let you give your opinion here in a minute, Doug, but it's an interesting way they put it. The way I interpret it is none of the show scenes are going to change, per se, at least according to everything I've read. Just the pre-show, which I guess it means when you load in the ride vehicle, that's what I'm thinking, that big, you know, area there. And then the movie at the very end, which, you know, making changes to the movies, it's pretty simple. I mean, they're just going to put different ones in there. I'm sure they'll keep some of the original, but I don't think that they're going to necessarily change any of the show scenes. At least that's how I'm viewing it. What say you?
I don't know, Dan. I think they're just – I mean, I think this just might be kicking off the whole start of it. I mean, I'm hoping anyway more things change inside, because we've already spoke about wanting to get rid of aliens and a couple other things from my – view. I hope some more goes so it updates the ride a little bit more. I'm hoping. I mean, I think they might start off with the two ending scenes from what they're telling us now, and then maybe I'm hoping they're waiting for other shoes to drop. I'm hoping for.
Yeah. I hear you, and I do as well. Let me just read a little bit here. The Great Movie Ride, an original opening day attraction from 1989. That had very few updates in its lifetime. A few changes to the finale movie clips and occasional updates to the props in the queue area are all that's changed in 25 years. The agreement with TCM appears to only cover the pre-show and finale, so don't expect to see new scenes along the ride show scenes. That's what this article that I'm reading is reporting. So again, maybe both things are true. I mean, maybe this is a stopgap just until, you know, the studios really goes under a comprehensive renovation, and maybe it still maybe will close eventually. I don't know. But again, I'm just going by what I read here, that it's just going to be kind of window dressing. It's not, you know, they're not going to rip out the Wizard of Oz scene or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to see that happen.
No.
You know, but there's some others I would eventually. I would like to see them updated a little more as far as, more Disney stuff inside the ride, some classic Disney stuff. But I'm happy they're not getting rid of it. We said there might be, and I'm just happy that even if they only do the beginning and end, I'll be happy, because the Great Movie Ride will still be there.
Yes, and that's the bottom line. If it stays, I'm all for it. So that's great news to me. I'm happy that this agreement came about.
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, and I hope when, like, remember when me, you, and Mike were on a few shows ago, and we were talking about major change and stuff like that, and he was saying, and I don't want to quote him, but we were going back and forth, and all I know is I was saying that I hope they keep it the Disney Studios.
Right.
Disney Hollywood Studios. And I think this might be part to say that they're going to keep it Disney Hollywood Studios and just have different parts of movies as part of the studios. Star Wars could be one part of it. Pixar could be other. They're still movies.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, again, everything the Disney community's been talking about the last couple months is all speculation. I mean, Disney has literally said nothing about what they intend to do at the studios. So we're just putting two and two together and coming up with seven, basically. But it is interesting. And I think it all links back to the Sorcerer Mickey hat coming down and the Gremlins Chinese Theater being the icon that it was, I guess. That's going to stay, and that's all good as far as I'm concerned.
Well, maybe because of Turner, they were able to mend the waters, if you say, and let the theater stay there. Maybe that because of them, they made some kind of agreement with the man company,
yeah,
and allowed Disney to show this theater again. Does that make sense to
yeah,
you?
Yeah. I mean, however it happened, it's all good as far as I'm concerned. So that's kind of exciting news that came out over the weekend, over the week rather. Also, as part of this, with the Turner Classic Movie, they're going to start showing the treasures from the Disney Vault, which
Walt Disney.
Yeah, which I know I used to always complain about this long before I was doing a podcast, but it really bummed me out when the Disney Channel went to all children's programming. And I get it, that's where their money is and all that, but I remember back in the day when the Disney Channel first came on, they used to play all those old classic Disney movies.
They play Huck Finn and stuff like that, and I mean, all kind of stuff. It was really cool. Treasure Island or something like that. But you're right. I even was hoping, like, I understand them going to all cartoons maybe till like 9 o'clock at night, but then maybe switch over and give us some of the classic stuff that they used to play. I used to love when they would come up with. Remember when we were in school and Walt Disney would do the movies when we were kids?
Oh yeah, yeah, and Zorro and all that stuff. I mean.
Yeah, and he would narrate some of the shows. I still remember one with the otters going down the hill in the snow.
Yeah, I mean,
and he would talk about it. And do you remember? Even I wish they would do the Wonderful World of Disney on the Disney Channel.
Well, they may do it. It says here that the featuring such shows as Walt Disney's Wonderful World of Color, which is exactly what you're talking about, and mm-hmm. vintage movies and cartoons. So, I think we're going to get to see some of what you just said. And those of us that remember Sunday nights, I think at 7 o'clock when Walt would come on and, you know, give his little talk and then show a, you know, a movie or whatever, that goes way back. And I agree with you with the Disney Channel. I always said, you know, even after 10 o'clock at night or whatever, why not throw on some classic Disney stuff? But for whatever reason, they just won't or don't do it.
I don't even know why they don't, like, do once in a while the Disney Cruise Line like they do on the Travel Channel or the park videos or something like that, just to have us, you know, get into it with the kids once in a while, too. I don't understand why they do absolutely hardly no theme park on there at all.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. I mean,
I don't get that. It's like a natural advertisement. I don't know why that is not part of it. Because I remember when I was a little kid, like you were saying, then my parents were separated. My dad used to take me home every Sunday night. And I think it took me so long to get him down to Disney because he held a grudge against him because I would not budge if Disney came on. Once the Wonderful World of Disney came on, he knew he was stuck, and he had an hour ride to take me home.
Wow.
So he knew he'd have to watch that entire show before I would leave. So,
yeah.
But I miss it. I remember Herbie the Love Bug and all them the Apple Dumpling Gang and all those movies, man.
Yeah, I mean, all that stuff. So that's all good. I mean, that's a byproduct of this sponsorship of the Great Movie Ride that we're going to see some of these things that we've been longing for or some of these shows for a long time. And just, you know, the Disney Channel's been so successful. Why can't they launch a Disney Channel 2? You know, like ESPN has 8 channels. They could do a classic Disney Channel or something. I would think it'd be successful.
And I know everybody says that You can get it. I mean, anybody would think and say you get all these videos on YouTube and stuff like that. There's just something special about flipping through the channels and seeing something Disney on the TV
No.
that you're not looking for. Like, you know how many times there's a couple channel, America Channel. There's a couple different channels we have here that do travel and different things like that. And when I come across anything Disney, it's like a treat, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like, you know, you just you found something you really love, and you probably weren't thinking about it, and it just you stumble upon it, and you watch it.
Exactly. I can watch that Behind the Disney Scenes movie every time it comes on. Even though I've seen it 100 times, I still watch it again.
Oh, it's just like anything else. Like, you know, the Disney treasures that came out, those DVDs that were in the metal tins, the silver
mm-hmm.
tins. I have every one of those. I haven't looked at them in years, but I have them. But again, not that I guess I'm lazy or whatever, but, you know, to sit there and think about it and say, oh, I want to watch Donald Duck cartoons, and then break
mm-hmm.
it out and put it in, it's just not something you're going to do. But if I was flicking through the channels and channel surfing or whatever, I'd watch it, you know, 15, 20 minutes, maybe a half hour of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's like a treat every once in a while when you see, I'll see somebody walking on a Disney boat and you're like, oh, here's the cruise line again, but I can't walk away from it.
Yeah, it's crazy. But anyway, so yeah, that's great
news. It's good news. We get to keep our great movie ride.
It sounds like it. So thank you, Turner Classic Movies. However that – oh, actually, I heard last night. Where did I hear it? I don't know. But the story goes that somebody just a – not an intern, but an entry-level person that worked at Turner Classic Movies – went on a trip to Disney World, and they went on the great movie ride, and when they got back, they were talking to one of their superiors or whatever, and as the story goes, they said, man, it'd be great if we sponsored or had some sort of affiliation with Disney. It'd be a perfect, you know, match. And
well, that guy's picture needs to go right up on a Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it was a man or a woman or a girl or a man or whatever, but that
I'm sure it was one of the two.
Yes, it couldn't have been a dog or a cat, but but no, that's the story I heard, and I don't know how true it is, but I guess that the person he or she talked to thought it was a good idea, and they ran it up the corporate ladder,
flagpole.
Or the flagpole, and lo and behold, a deal was struck. So if that story is true, that is pretty cool, and I agree with you. They should put that person's picture somewhere in the attraction.
Or maybe right in the middle of the Man Chinese Theater there. Just put his name somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah,
because
no, go ahead.
This has to be the reason why that, you know, the hat came down the whole nine yards. This whole thing, this is where all the cards fell.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. It's like a puzzle, you know, when they just release a little piece of, while they're taking the hat down, and we all went crazy. Well, why are they doing it? Where are they going to put it? But again, you know, as the weeks and months go on, it all makes sense. Another piece to the puzzle fits in, and now we get this information. So I'm sure there'll be more to come on, you know.
It's going to be nonstop with the studios.
Yeah. So, and I guess Disney's smart with just releasing little tidbits of information because it gets everybody talking and keeps them interested in, you know, the studios and Disney World in general.
Okay. Well, I'm happy.
Yeah, I am too. I'm with you.
Another shot of another Bloody Mary, please. We're going to cheer to that.
A celebratory drink.
There you go.
What else is going on? Just the candlelight processional, I believe, started two nights ago, and I think tonight.
Friday night?
Yeah, yeah. So
29th. Sorry, I'm saying Friday night like you would know, but Friday the 29th it started.
Right, and we're recording this on Sunday the 30th, so.
Or the 28th, it actually, my bad.
Yeah, we're not good with math either. Don't mind us.
No, but it was the 28th, the Friday. Yeah.
I mean, you still have car lag from driving from North Carolina. Yeah, but anyways, it's in full swing, and I just saw on Twitter this morning that Neil Patrick Harris is narrating tonight's rendition of the Candlelight Processional. So I know he's a popular narrator, so I'm sure people are psyched to go to that tonight.
He's awesome. He does a great job. He's a great ad-libber.
Yeah, I've seen him on YouTube do his thing, and he is pretty he is pretty good, I got to admit, and he's a big Disney fan too.
Yeah, the thing I like about it is like when you get him, like Brian Dennehy was very good too, the one of the other ones we had, mm-hmm. but you have them, you can tell when they're really enjoying
right,
it.
Right.
It, that makes the difference. Like, they're not just there to get their family a free week trip to Disney.
Right.
Because that's usually what they do. They'll come down an hour and bring the whole family.
Right.
That's why Whoopi does it every year. It's a family tradition.
Right.
You know, the whole family goes to Disney World, and she loves Disney, too. So when they're doing it, they're actually looking forward to doing it. You can tell when they're not into it.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it.
So he's good because he loves what he's doing. He really enjoys doing it. Question for you, did you see the new folk band that's going to be playing outside of the United Kingdom?
I saw a picture of it, yes, I did.
The Paul McKenna band?
I mean, I'm looking at a picture of them right now. I don't know what they do or how they sound, but I guess any entertainment is good entertainment.
Absolutely. I'm going to listen to the video today myself. I'm actually excited about it. Another little trio. Or it's a quartet. There's four of them.
Yes, four.
Yeah. It looks like it's going to be I think they'll be pretty good.
Yeah, again, I mean,
to go acoustic, you can't be bad, man. Like, all your flaws are there.
True.
It's kind of like a woman going out without makeup. When you go acoustic, either you can sing or you can't outside live like that.
Right.
There's no hiding it. So I think they probably will be pretty good.
Yeah. Now, is this the band that they originally announced would be replacing the World Showcase players when they announced the, when they got rid of the four acts there? You know, off kilter enough.
To be honest with you, Dan, I don't know. I don't know any. I didn't even know these guys were coming,
yeah.
The guys and girls. It's two guys and two girls.
But what I'm saying is, and I don't know either, but if you remember when they announced off kilter and the other four things that they got rid of in Epcot, they did say there would be some sort of band type. I think this is what they said would be coming.
I don't remember that they were part of it, but
yeah, either way,
I hope they're good. I think they will be.
We will see. I'm sure. Like,
I'm going to play the video later today, and I'll give you guys an update.
All right, we'll have a full review on next week's show.
Exactly. What's your next piece of news, partner?
Let's see. The food truck park at Disney Springs West Side is now complete and open to guests. So I guess the food trucks are there and available for your dining pleasure.
If I was a contractor working there, I'd be in heaven with these trucks. My wife would actually be jealous of me going to work.
Yep. But it would cost you $100 a week to eat lunch, though.
Hey, it costs you that the same around here if you go out to McDonald's.
Yeah, that's true. You told us a story where you spent $12 at McDonald's and you were outraged.
Yeah, because it was horrible. I mean, at least my local hoagie shop, I pay like $10 for a hoagie, but it's awesome.
Right.
But it's still $10 a hoagie. Only positive thing with me, I get two meals out of one hoagie.
There you go.
I can never eat a whole hoagie at one time.
You save for a snack for mid-afternoon or something, right?
No, I usually bring it home, wrap it, and take it the next day.
Hey, whatever.
There you go.
And just a bunch of closings, but as per usual, it's, the weather is cooler down there, so Blizzard Beach is closed, and, you know, on any given day they'll close if the temperatures get below, 60 or 55 or whatever. So if you are down there or heading down there soon, you should check your park schedule or information on the TV in your resort room because they may close the water parks due to it being cold. Also, I saw mentioned earlier in the week that the parking garage at Downtown Disney has opened to guests and available. I don't think it's fully opened, but I don't have the story up here, but they did say that I think it's a couple thousand spaces that are available now. So that's good news. I mean, that's been a long time coming. And I remember us talking about this very early on when the Disney Springs construction started that, you were saying, the parking garage, that's something they usually get done first because all the contractors got to park. And I'm just shocked that it's taken this long for the parking garage to open. I mean, but it is what it is, and it's open now, so that's all good.
Well, they probably – what happened then is they probably were using it for the construction workers to begin with. And now they got more area cleared for places for the construction parkers to park in the other area that's being done. So now they're allowing guests in to where the construction workers were parked.
Very, very perceptive. That sounds like it could be. So in other words, the contractors were using the spaces, so guests couldn't, but now they've that makes sense.
That's what we usually do. Like when a portion, like when we build a casino or a shopping plaza or something like that, we park, they pour the main lot first, and then they'll work on the building, blah, 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 like we did down the Revel. The parking garage is built first. Once they open part of it, they take away some of our parking and move us to something else that's being worked on. Like they're doing a second garage area, correct?
Yeah, there's supposed to be two sister parking garages, right?
Exactly. So the construction workers are probably over at the second one now. Why the original one now could be used by guests.
That makes sense. And that is awesome that they have that because, you know, those of us that remember the old downtown Disney, if you will, if you went, you know, on a Friday night or something, trying to get a space in there was crazy. So this will be nice that, you know, they have a multi-level parking garage or parking garages eventually. And it's just going to make access in and out of the whole Disney Springs area nice.
It'll probably also be safer and, you know, keep you out of the weather a little bit. If it's pouring out or something, when you get there, you can hang out for a second. You know what I mean? And I think it would also be safer because they can monitor it better.
Yeah, it's all good. And, again, it's kind of exciting just generally speaking. I know we mention this every podcast, it seems like, but the construction is going fast and furious down there, and restaurants are going to start opening and different shops, and things have already opened, as we know, the co-op and, you know, different new things. So it's nice to see that progressing quickly and, you know, on schedule, I guess.
Well, the other positive thing about parking garages is it allows them to keep more space for us to be entertained. You lose less space going straight up.
Right.
You know, that whole area now that used to be the parking lot, that was prime acres there.
Mm-hmm.
And even though Disney has 42 square miles, it's still, the more they can save for us to enjoy later on, the better. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's no doubt, and we've talked about this before. I mean, I love downtown Disney, you know, for years, even when it was kind of a modest place, if you will. But now, like we've been saying, it's going to be a destination. I mean, you know, I'd never consider it a fifth gate, if you will. It's not a ticketed, you know, place to go. But, I mean, there's just going to be so much to do in restaurants and shops and entertainment and all kinds of stuff that, you know, you can easily burn a day down there, you know, get there at 11 o'clock in the morning, and you could stay there till 2 in the morning and not be bored. There's so much to do.
Dude, I can go in the Disney store just to get the Disney smell, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
right.
Downtown Disney's awesome to me. I just love the whole atmosphere. It reminds me of... Because we walk through the parks without going on rides either, so it gives me the same feeling as when I'm in one of the parks. There's just something special about being a part of Disney, so I love being down there. To me, it's the fifth gate without having a gate, like you said.
Yeah, and we've discussed this, but, you know, a lot of us on our first day getting there, or maybe our last day when we maybe don't have another day on our ticket or whatever, it's a great place to go and get one last meal, or like you said, pick up those last minute souvenirs and try to hang on to that Disney trip as long as you can.
Well, we do all of our shopping usually there on the way, the last day,
right,
for everybody.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. And that's pretty, unless you have something, Doug, that's all I got for earth shattering Disney news this week.
No, the only thing I can say is that just seeing the Christmas decorations going up has been pretty amazing. I've been watching videos and stuff from around the parks. They have them time-lapse videos you can watch.
Right.
And one that I looked at was the did you see the pictures of Kidani Village all done up?
Oh, yeah. I've been looking at those, and they're beautiful.
They're amazing.
Oh, absolutely.
It's amazing over there. The artistry of the ornaments and stuff is amazing too.
Yeah, they're all,
and all the different flower arrangements and the wreaths and the greenery, it's just beautiful, just the way they do things over there.
No,
so different. That's why I tell everybody, just go to every resort. And we'll be talking about Christmas on the next few shows, so we'll get a little more into it. But yeah, check out the resorts at Christmas time. You guys will not be disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, everyone that I talk to that has been down there during this time, it says, you know, you got to take a day and do that. And like I said, that's on my bucket list. I got to get down there at this time of year and see all that stuff. It just looks amazing.
Well, I'm hoping within the next couple, then me and you're doing the resort hopping down there every year for Christmas.
Yeah, that would be nice.
One of these years, hopefully sooner than later, then we're down there.
Yeah.
So do you want to tell everybody what your idea is for this week's show? Because that's about it for the news.
Okay, yeah, you're going to pin this on me. I thought we'd do something that have a little fun here and go back and forth and ask each other if we could move an attraction, any attraction in each of the four parks and put it in one of the other parks, you know, what would it be and why? And I don't know, just thought we'd have a little fun with this and see where we go. So
I'll give you a quick example. I would like to take Primeval World out of the Animal Kingdom and send it over to Universal. Is that what we're doing, Dad?
We need a buzzer. You can't cross-pollinate like that.
I can't do that? I can't give them Primeval World?
No, this is on Disney property only.
Oh, darn it. Or Trizoppa's Spin?
You're cheating already.
Oh, my goodness. I wanted to give them too.
All right. Anyways, that was a good one. You want to go first? Or?
I don't want to, but I will.
All right, Doug. So you're up first. You can pick any one of the four parks, an attraction, and where would you put it and why?
What I'm going to do is, and you're going to see a theme going for me as we go on,
okay.
But I'm from the Animal Kingdom. I'm going to take out Nemo, the musical, and move it over to the studios and put it back as part of Pixar Place because I think Nemo fits better at the studios than it does at the Animal Kingdom. I just think it would play better there. I think it would fit better in Pixar Place, and I think they could use an updated musical over there.
No, that makes perfect sense to me. You know, Nemo's a fish, animal. I mean, okay. You know, it does fit in the Animal Kingdom, but I see where you're going here, and I think we maybe have some similar thoughts on this. But, you know, in a perfect world, if it was me, and I think you disagree with me on this because I know we talked about this, but it'd be nice if all the Pixar stuff was all in one place.
Absolutely.
You know,
for now, I understand the cross-pollination of it, but if we're for this little act, I'm going to move it over to the studios.
All right.
And I think it would fit perfectly in the studios, Nemo.
Okay. Let's see. I'll go next. So any of the four parks. I'm going to go Magic Kingdom. And for the same reason, I'm going to take God, I can't even think of the name of it. Tomorrowland. What's the Pixar thing in there?
What, the Buzz Lightyear?
No. Monsters, Inc. or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, Monsters, Inc. Laugh.
Yeah. I'm going to take that and put that at the studios. I didn't even think of Buzz. I mean, that's obviously Pixar as well. But, yeah, for the same reason. I mean, I'm thinking more broadly if they do expand Pixar Place, to me, that isn't a futuristic type thing. I mean, to me, it's out of place in Tomorrowland, and I think it would be better in the studios. Now, having said that, I understand as these things came out over the years, they needed to stick them. I mean, Pixar Place wasn't even a thing back when they put some of these things in the Magic Kingdom. So I understand it. But, you know, again, with this little exercise we're doing, in a perfect world, if you could just pluck it out and put it somewhere else, I think it would make a whole lot more sense to be over at the studios at Pixar Place.
I'm going to elaborate on that. I agree with you. Mine was Buzz Lightyear to move it over to the Hollywood studios and put it in Pixar Place.
Mm-hmm.
But the more you talk to me, I think you're right because I think Buzz fits a little bit more in Tomorrowland.
Yes, it's obviously space related. I mean, he flies, he's an astronaut or whatever, and it kind of fits with Tomorrowland. You know, a lot more than the laugh floor there or whatever it is.
So what we're going to do is move both of them over.
All right.
Because I think they should be, and put them at Pixar Place because Buzz Lightyear would be perfect next to Toy Story Midway Mania.
There you go.
You could have that whole area there. But I also agree with you with Monsters, Inc. When they originally put that in there, I thought the same thing. I like the attraction. Getting my wife in there is like pulling teeth.
Right.
Because she don't want to ever be the one asked to make a joke or blah, blah, blah. She don't want to talk to
her. She doesn't want to be that guy.
No, she's stage fright girl. But the point of it is I thought that from the beginning, it's like, with all the things that the studios needs, isn't, like, that perfect for the studios? Because it also is a stage show. Like,
right.
It's interactive.
Yeah, it's a comedy.
It would be like making a movie. I mean, it's all part of a stage, an act, comedy. I don't know why they didn't put that at the studios to begin with.
Yeah, I don't know either. Other than, you know, then you'd have to think, okay, just say we wiped out those two attractions. I mean, what do they put in Tomorrowland?
Well, they're the geniuses. They could come up with something to put in Tomorrowland. They're the ones that come up with all the other rides there.
Right, right.
I mean, there's other stuff. I mean, it's just, I think those two would have both fit better next to Toy Story Midway Mania. I think that would make that whole area, like, vibrant again.
No, I totally agree. I totally agree. And like you said, what they come up with, who knows? But like you said, they're the experts. They can figure it out.
My honorable mention for this was, and everybody's going to probably think I'm nuts.
Okay.
I went with Buzz, because this is my turn again. I piggybacked on yours.
That's okay.
But I am definitely going to put Buzz over there or Monsters, Inc. But the other one I thought about was, thinking outside the box, would be It's a Small World. Moving that over to Epcot at the beginning of World Showcase. And I think that would go perfectly with the whole theme of It's a Small World, with bringing all the countries into Epcot. What do you think about that?
I think that's an excellent idea. I had never even considered that, but you're absolutely right. The whole concept of It's a Small World is a global community, and that fits in perfectly with the World Showcase pavilions and the countries. That would be awesome. But where would you put it in Epcot? Would you put it in
I'd put it right at the front of World Showcase, where the clothier is there, the store, right at the international, the store, right in the middle of the park. I would remove that and put the It's a Small World there right in front of the lagoon.
Yeah, or even if you built out into the lagoon, because, you know, that's a pretty elaborate footprint for the attraction. But you could, you know, build up piers and go out onto the water. You know.
Yeah, I just thought the whole theming of that, the whole point of that, would fit perfectly into World Showcase.
That's a great idea. Wow, you put some thought into this. I better get on the ball here. No, that's a great one, Doug. I like that.
Yeah, I just, you know, trying to think outside the box. Now, you don't want to remove – the reason I end up going back to Monsters – I mean, back to Buzz, and I'm agreeing with you with Monsters, Inc., is because they're not a staple of the Magic Kingdom. But if any one ride would fit perfectly at Epcot, I think it would be It's a Small World.
No, that's awesome. So that was your second one, correct?
Well, my third, actually, because right. I went on. That's my second. Go ahead.
Yeah, we can do a Lou Mangiello here.
No, it was
here.
My second.
No, we can do
it was my number two. I still got two more. Go ahead. Your second one.
I was just going to say, we can do a Lou Mangiello top 10, but we'll sneak in 18. That's fine.
No, it's okay.
let's see. I am going to take, from the Animal Kingdom, I am going to take It's a Tough to Be a Bug out of the tree. And I'm going to I know that's your favorite. It's still going to be with us. It's just going to be somewhere else. It also is going to be over at Pixar Place. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put in, which I believe was the original concept, I'm going to put in a restaurant inside the tree instead. So
there you go.
It'll be a, an Animal Kingdom, I don't know, some themed restaurant. But instead of going in and seeing an attraction, Tough to Be a Bug, you're going to go in and have a dining experience. And again, we're going to need a lot of room for Pixar Place over there at the studios, because that's where I'm going to put it, along with everything else we just mentioned. And again, that's a great attraction. And Hopper, the audio animatronic, is probably one of the best on property. And
he's incredible.
Yeah, and he's going to be over there at the studios, which is going to really boost the people are going to be just, you know, the studios is going to be number one on their list to go to now with all these great Pixar attractions over there.
I agree. I mean, I would love the idea of the restaurant. The only thing we'd have a problem is they better not allow the stink bug to stay, because I think that would ruin the whole atmosphere of eating dinner.
Right, right. That might put a little damper on things, but that's my choice.
I hear you. I love that ride, and we're only thinking outside the box here, but I would love the idea of a restaurant being in there.
Yeah, I mean, it could be another attraction, but I mean, I think how they have it now is perfect. I mean,
yeah.
That's a unique thing that, it's just, I love it. But, you know, if I had a blank piece of paper and I was putting attractions where I think they should go, I would make that move.
Okay.
What do you got?
I like it. I wouldn't disagree with you. I do love it. I love where it is. You know, that's my favorite thing. I admit I wept a little bit walking by there multiple times this last trip, because it's the first time I never went in it.
Right.
Because I do it every trip. Like I've said, the four main things I do is I go in Tough to Be a Bug at Animal Kingdom. I do Great Movie Ride at the studios. I do Spaceship Earth every single time at Epcot. And at the Magic Kingdom, I do the Haunted Mansion every trip. It's like the four staples of I have to do them. It's like I feel like I left something out if I don't.
Yeah, there you go. It's like going to church.
Absolutely. My Disney confessionals. There you go. I got to go. Mine is I thought outside the box again a little bit. Not a lot, though.
Okay.
I think one man's dream, I want to move that out of the studios, and I want to put that where they have the new meet and greet in the front of the Magic Kingdom now, where Mickey Mouse at the town hall meet and greet.
Mm-hmm.
I think one man's dream should have always been on Main Street, not at Hollywood Studios. And I think it would be great if they set it up right on Main Street, had where you meet and greeted Mickey and Minnie, but also you could go through so the parents could see the movie, see all the stuff from One Man's Dream, and then also meet the characters all at the same time. I think it would all flow better instead of the way they have it set up now.
No, that's a great idea. I totally agree with you. And if you remember back in the day, they used to have that movie theater in the back, and it wasn't One Man's Dream, obviously, but mm-hmm. you did get a little bit of Disney history, and they used to show cartoons, I believe, at one time. But,
absolutely, they did. The old black and whites and stuff
yeah,
back there.
But back out in Disneyland, that's exactly what they used to do, or maybe they still do. I don't know. It's been a while since I've been out there. But the great moments with Lincoln is right there on the right. So, and that's, again, it all ties to Walt, and there's a movie there. So that would be a great idea. And, you know, even though Walt was never in Magic Kingdom Park in Florida, it's still, you know, his dream, his vision. And to have him right there and prominently on the right-hand side makes all the sense in the world to me. I don't think it's out of place at the studios, but I think it would fit better at the Magic Kingdom. So I like that idea.
But my point is, and to go inside with my architecture, we're going crazy right now.
Right.
For us to put all these Pixar rides and shows over there, we got to pull One Man's Dream out of there to have the room.
Yeah, true.
To put all this stuff in, and I honestly believe that One Man's Dream would fit a lot better on Main Street.
Right, right. No,
and I think it would be good with all the parents, and everybody could have a good time there. Because I would like to look at all the stuff while I'm waiting for my son or daughter to get autographs or Minnie or Mickey or any of the princesses. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. You could, you know, take care of the kids and, you know, the adults. And, you know, unfortunately, as time goes on here, and this is just, it's just a natural evolution, if you will, you know, as the years go by since Walt has died, and, you know, a lot of the younger generation, I'm not going to say they don't know who he is, but, you know, Walt Disney or just Disney is just a company name, and a lot of people don't even really connect with the man that started it all. So, you know, I always thought there should be an attraction that, you know, presents Walt or shows his story. And one man's dream does. I mean, but
no, it's awesome.
But you got to admit, I mean, it's sparsely attended, and most people blow right by it. I mean, I don't, but again, people of our age tend to, you know, pay our respects or pay homage to Walt, but you know, the average 20 something, you know, they blow right by it, and they're going to, you know, further down Pixar Place to some of the big attractions.
Yeah, we do it every single trip then, but I honestly believe I would like to move that over to the Town Square Theater. That's where I think it belongs.
No, I agree. And while we're talking about this, I'll see what you think about this. I always thought, and maybe it's creepy and they wouldn't do it for that reason, but...
Oh, you're talking creepy now.
No.
Another one over here, bartender.
Yeah. No, but you,
he's getting creepy.
You may think this is weird, but don't you think that with all the... you know, we were talking about Hopper and how advanced they've come with audio animatronics. Why don't they make one of Walt and let him talk to you, like at the Hall of Presidents or something like that? Do you think that would just be too creepy?
I don't know. I thought about that myself. I thought, I don't know why they don't have, and I went a little further with the thought, and I said it to my wife before. I think somewhere they should have Roy, Walt, and Mickey all together sending some kind of message.
Right. I mean, you know, I know the movie that they show in the and yeah, the great movie, right? In One Man's Dream. I mean, I've seen it several times, and I actually have it on. You know, most of that stuff is on the Treasures discs that I don't know if we talked about on the show. We were talking about before the show, but you know, to have them tell some of their story, you know, as you're looking at them as audio animatronics. I mean, I don't know. I just think that would be pretty cool. But then again, it might be creepy. I don't know.
No, I don't think it would be creepy. I think it would be a good idea. It's just I don't know why they've never breached it. Maybe the family don't want it.
Yeah, there's got to be a reason. It seems like a no-brainer, but it'd be interesting. Any of the listeners out there would love to get some feedback on that. Would you be in favor of a Walt slash Roy slash, you know, Mickey Mouse audio animatronic kind of telling their story? I mean, it doesn't have to be the whole thing. Maybe they just do segments, just like at the
Because they don't even have a Mickey Mouse animatronic in the whole park that I've ever seen, do they?
No, they used to. I'm trying to remember what the name of it was. I actually have a Vinylmation right here I'm going to look at and see what it says. Yes.
But I'm saying it's no longer there.
Right, but it was called the Mickey Mouse Review, and there was actually a bunch of the characters, I believe, that were up on stage, and they were audio animatronics.
Yeah, that's where Vision 3D is in the Magic Kingdom now.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyways, we beat that to death. My turn or yours?
It's your turn.
All right. I'm gonna take again. Boy, we got to get some stuff out of the studios. I'm gonna take Mickey's PhilharMagic out of the Magic Kingdom. And I'm gonna put that over at the studios too, because
well, speaking of that, that's what replaced the Mickey Mouse Review.
See, we tied that together very nicely. Yeah, I think Mickey's PhilharMagic is an underrated show. I love that show. I love the music. I think it's pretty funny. And, you know, again, it's a show. It's presented in a theater, obviously. And, again, to me, that fits with movies, television, you know, Hollywood studios or whatever. So, I think they could put something more fantasy land related. I don't know. It doesn't really fit in fantasy land in my view. I think it would be much better over at the Hollywood studios.
Yeah, I wish they would move it from there or put it in the studios or even put it where Honey, I Shrunk the Audience is just to have something good over there.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Yeah, that's it. That as a backup, I wouldn't even be opposed to that because, like you said, I think we've already filled the studios up with too much stuff. But yeah, that would be a great, you know, and it's almost you know, the same size. I don't know, you know, square footage wise if it would fit, but it definitely doesn't belong in Fantasyland, I don't think. But
I mean, I could take it either way. I do enjoy that, too. We didn't get to see it this last trip, but I've seen it every other trip since. It was when we went by, every time we'd go, it wasn't loading, if you understand what I'm saying. And there was a big line. And when you, because the times I've gone on that, I pretty much walked into there.
Right, right.
We go least crowded times of the year. But this past trip, it was pretty crowded.
Mm-hmm.
Like we said, that and Peter Pan, that was kind of like not like, it isn't usually like it, but it was Peter Pan-like on our last trip, and I don't know why it was so filled all the time.
Yeah.
But, no, I could see that being moved. I wouldn't mind seeing it. I get it at the studios, or like I said, I wouldn't even see it replace Honey, I Shrunk the Audience over at Epcot. Just give something in there, because I'm over Michael Jackson, man.
Yeah.
I hope that never comes back. I know Mike Rahman will hate me for
Uh-oh.
It, but I think that was the worst thing I've ever seen on Disney property.
Wow.
I hated it that bad. I mean, I appreciate mine. I was a Michael Jackson fan. I never hated on him.
Right.
You know, Thriller was all good. You know, but I just never. Did you like that attraction?
I wouldn't say I didn't hate it. I mean, it was all right. I mean, I had never seen it the first run. I only saw it obviously when it
Me
came
neither.
Back. I mean, it was something different. You know, I didn't.
I was excited because it was new.
Right, exactly. I saw it a couple of times, and now I skip it. So I guess I'm in the same boat as you. As you know, it's you know, again, it's what from the '80s or whatever, and something better should be in there. I mean, again, just looking at Epcot for what it is, it's supposed to be futuristic and cutting-edge technology, and, you know, that's fine to bring back an attraction for sentimental reasons or whatever, but, you know, let's move on and put something in there that's more appropriate for that park.
No, I was, yeah, that wasn't my – I liked Honey, I Shrunk the Audience way better than Captain EO. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, again, I've seen that many, many times, but if I had to pick the two, I'd go with Honey, I Shrunk the Audience for sure.
At least I laughed with it, not at it.
Right, right.
I mean, when it came out that first year, we were headed down.
Right.
I'm always excited about something new. You know, even I tried to give the Lumberjacks the benefit of the doubt. So
right.
People understand, I wanted to like this.
I hear you.
And I just couldn't. Me and my wife were sitting there, and she, out of respect, we were being good. We were looking at each other like, really?
Well, if you think about it, I mean, I thought the pre-show was pretty cool, like how they built you up to it. I don't know if you remember the pre-show, televisions, and, you know, it kind of got you excited. Oh, what's this going to be, you know? But then, you know, these crazy animals or aliens, whatever the heck you want to call them, come out, and, you know, it was just a very stupid, silly.
I know the haters are going to get on us, but.
Right, right. No,
I'm sorry.
I mean,
please forgive us. If you like it, more power to you. I just didn't.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you know, the music isn't half bad, I guess, if you didn't see.
No, I could listen to that. If I want to close my eyes and take a nap and listen to that, that's good. But I, out of respect, I don't do that.
Right, right.
I'd rather be listening to music on my iPod. It would be clearer and better.
I hear you. Sorry, Mike.
That's okay, but we all have to disagree on something.
This is true.
Okay, staying with Epcot, I'm going to give you my last move.
Okay.
I'm going to move Soarin' out of there because I don't think Soarin' ever fit there. I think Soarin' was wedged in there. Mm-hmm. I don't think Soarin' has anything educational about it. It was to me, it's a ride with a food court.
That's a good way to look at it.
It never fit there. I want to build it. And again, I'm moving it to the studios because they have room somewhere towards the back lot and making the maybe take out lights, camera, action. And put it over there and build the full hangar and the whole effect that the ride was supposed to have at Disneyland.
Right.
And make it bigger and grander and build something around it. Because what does Soarin' have to do with the land?
Yeah, I totally agree that it probably could have been placed in one of the other parks. The only thing I would say, you know, and when they did put that in, if you remember, that was one of the attractions that came in the what was it, the 100 Years of Magic? We got each park got a new attraction from Disneyland, and I guess they had to put something in Epcot. So, yeah, but I agree. It probably isn't a good fit in the land pavilion, if you will.
It is by far the worst queue of any ride in the entire park.
Yeah, that's
for the magnitude of the ride.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
It's like a concrete runway.
It was made – see, Disney – that's the same thing why Captain EO didn't fit. When you retrofit something old into something new into something old, it just never has the same effect as when it's built from scratch.
Right, right. No, I agree.
It was just like shoehorned in there. And I love Soarin'. You know, we do our thing. It's always in our top 10, top 5, top 3. It's like one of our favorites. I never, since it's been there, I've never not done it more than at least twice every trip.
Right, right.
I love the ride. It's my wife's favorite ride. But even she said the same thing when I gave her this. We were talking about it. She agreed with me. And she said the same thing. It's a ride with a food court. And it's the point of it does not fit where it's supposed to be. They should have something else that has to do with agriculture or something living with the land. Soarin' is flying over the land.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you. I mean, again, I think it could have been placed many other places, but, you know, they'd have to put something in there. But like we keep saying, they're the geniuses. They could figure it out.
They could put something else in there. Wouldn't you like to see the Disneyland one? I've never seen it in person, but I've seen it because, you know, I watch all the videos. I've seen every ride. I've virtually rode through every ride on my 55-inch TV here on YouTube.
Right, right.
And multiple times. And their queue and everything else is so much superior to ours, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I've ridden the one in California as well, and you're right, it's more like a hangar, and the building is, as you know, it's like a four-story building, and there's all kinds of artwork on the outside of it with the gliders and stuff, and yeah, it's just presented in a much better way than the one at Walt Disney World.
The way it should have been. And now we're walking down a concrete hallway to get on a plane, a glider. It don't make no sense.
I hear you, but it is a great
Okay,
attraction.
it's an awesome attraction. It isn't me picking on the attraction, but it's like when you walk into the land and see Hershey's and Nestle and food, you don't think about taking a hang glider. Now you walk into a hangar, you think about getting on a hang
There
glider.
you go. There you go.
Just my, hey, you thought of this, so I'm
Well,
screaming.
that's okay. That's all right. We're all passionate about our attractions and what we think of them. That's all good. All right, I guess my last one here. You'll kill me on this, but I'm going to take the yet to be opened Frozen attraction in
Oh,
Norway,
geez.
and I'm going
Oh,
to th
I knew this was happening. I told the wife,
yeah.
watch, I guarantee this is on Dennis's list.
And I am
Where are you moving it? To Norway?
I'm going to move it to Six Flags. No, I'm only kidding. I am going to move it to the studios, and or I'm going to open up a fifth gate, and we can have a Frozen theme park if we have to. But in all seriousness, I'll state the obvious. In my view, definitely doesn't belong there. So I'm getting it the heck out of my World Showcase and putting it over at the studios, even though the attraction technically doesn't exist, so I'm kind of cheating, but I'm just looking into the
Used to that with
future.
you. I hear you. And if you want it at the studios to make you happy, I'm on the other side of this. I'm gonna wait and see how they do it to see if it fits. Nobody knows if it fits yet.
Yeah, but once it's there forever. So you're taking your chance.
That's not true. There's been some things that's gone.
Now that's very true.
So I mean, I wouldn't say forever, but. Let's see if it fits. Like I said, nobody, and my whole point was this before, and it'll be again. I don't want them ruining my World Showcase because I absolutely love World Showcase. But it being a little more kid friendly wouldn't kill nobody, in my opinion. And I've said this to you before. And the other thing is I am, and I use Fantasyland, the new Fantasyland, as the architecture for this and the point, because I never wanted to go there before. And now I want to be. They made it to where it's the best of both worlds. And I think they could do that with Epcot if they do it right, because Disney's right more times than they're not when they do our attractions.
Yeah, and again, we've gone back and forth with this. I mean, it may be a fantastic attraction. In fact, I'm quite sure that it will be. But again, my only issue is where it is geographically. Get it out of Norway, in my view. So it was my fourth one, and I can move it if I want to.
I understand, but what's the difference between Anna and Elsa or some trolls? Is there really trolls in Norway?
It's
If there
folklore.
are, I want to see them.
It's folklore.
Well, I have never seen one. Well, maybe Frozen's folklore now.
Yeah, but you could go
I've
into.
never heard of a real life
All right,
troll.
well, you can go into China and say, I've never seen a dragon. I mean, they dance around with dragons and put a show on. I mean, every culture has their.
There's kimono dragons.
Right.
There's a
Yeah,
dragon.
but
My point
every
is if you
culture.
want to be literal,
Right.
I'm just arguing. We're here at the bar. We're on our fifth drink. We can get into this now.
Right.
No, but you get my point. I'm just trying to say is maybe it'll. I think it's going to be more tasteful than you think. I don't think there's going to be pixie dust flying all around
But see,
Norway.
again, and I hear you, and I agree with you, and I don't care if there's pixie dust. I don't care if pixie dust shoots out of the chimneys in Norway. It's just not my. It doesn't matter how good or bad the attraction is. It's just it shouldn't be there, in my view.
Okay, but I understand. But if you look at the original, and we've talked before about the original architecture and the way the plans were for Epcot for World Showcase, there were going to be all kind of rides like this.
Absolutely, but not based. They were going to be based on the country that they're representing, not a three
But
movie.
no, I understand. But Norway, a lot of the stuff that's in the movie is. Like areas of Norway, if you understand what I'm saying, it picks that.
We shall see.
Well, anyway, it was fun. I like getting you fired up because I know it's killing you about that. Dennis is going to be have buttons made up and bumper stickers to get rid of this before it's all said and done.
Me and the boys from Off Kilter will storm the frozen attraction when it opens and take it up.
The bagpipe. The raid of the bagpipes at Norway.
Yeah, actually, on that, just rumor mill here stuff, but I've been hearing little dribs and drabs that I'm not going to say Off Kilter is going to be back. I know they're doing some limited engagements as part of the holiday shows. I can't remember the name of the band or whatever, but they are playing in Walt Disney World a couple select nights or whatever. I wish I could remember the name. I don't. But I've been reading online and different things and rumors, and don't be surprised if they're not back over the next 6 months.
Well, that'll be awesome. And we'll be rooting for it. We'll push for it. Everybody, let Disney know you want Off Kilter back. I enjoyed them. Hey, I tried to like the Lumberjacks. I'm sorry, guys. I just couldn't. That was just bad, man. I even watched a more recent video, and it didn't get any better.
Did they say? I heard they changed out some of the they don't have the big guy as the MC anymore. Did they change out some of the actors? Or?
Yeah, from what I – it's just not good, man. I don't
– Well –
I'm not feeling it.
Like I said,
I'm trying to.
Just don't get me wrong, listeners here. I mean, don't. I'm not saying.
That's what we do.
Yeah, but I mean, don't think that Off Kilter is coming back. I mean, this is just very, very small rumblings that I'm hearing. But we shall see.
You're getting exactly what you paid for this.
Yeah.
This information, we give you the information with the money you spend
right on
it. So you're going to get what you paid for.
Right. We told you guys the Great Movie Ride was closing, so take that.
We read the articles. We both said we don't want to see that happen.
No, so.
That's where we both agreed on that.
We're very happy about the Turner Classic Movie news.
Hail to the guy who changed this landscape of that. I'm very, very happy that the Turner Classic Movies are part of Disney World now.
Yep.
No, I'm not a big fan of Ted Turner or the owner of the Braves, but I'll take his Turner Classic Movies to save my movie ride.
And we'll take his money, too.
Exactly. Thanks, Ted.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be it for this week, then. That was a lot of fun.
It was.
I'm buying. You can leave the tip.
Okay.
20%, buddy. Remember, 20%.
25.
That's how we tip up.
I had such a good time. I'm giving 25 today.
You go, girl. All right, then. You got anything you want to say?
No. Just I hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving. And as we head into the holiday seasons, be safe out there. And we'll be back next week with another great show.
That's what I'm hoping, buddy. Everybody had a happy Thanksgiving and a safe one. The other thing is, if anybody wants to book their next Disney World trip, you know, if you want to purchase it for a Christmas present for one of your wife or your children, if you want, contact us at American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200 and ask for Doug, and I'll be glad to help you out. And if you could hop on Twitter, Facebook, and please go to iTunes and rate us at WDW Main Street. We could really use it, especially since we had to change that feed. All the new, you know, anything you guys, take 2 seconds to write a review for us. We'd really, really appreciate it.
Yeah. You don't have to write a paragraph, just, you know, a couple words, and rate us on the star system there. And that would be very helpful and help us get the word out to other listeners that might enjoy our show.
Even if you're on the right, two knuckleheads, we're fine with that. And just give us a review. We'd really appreciate it. All right, guys, that's going to be it for this week, and we will talk to you real soon. Have a great week, everybody. Bye. Thank you. Well, that's going to be it, guys. Me and Den's going to hop off our stools. It was another fun day of talking Disney with you. And don't forget our sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, and David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you need to find any of our fine sponsors, hop on our website at www.mainstreetmemories.com. And again, thanks for joining us, and talk to you real soon.